Today is the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. It is also the feast of St. Gregory Thaumaturgus. He's the great confessor of the faith. He's the second commemoration in the Mass today. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3. Brethren, be followers of me and observe them who walk so as you have our model. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. But our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will reform the body of our lowness, made like to the body of his glory, according to the operation whereby also he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and most desired, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. My dearly beloved, I beg of Evodia, and I beseech Syntyche, to be of one mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, my sincere companion, help those women who have labored with me in the gospel, with Clement and the rest of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the Book of Life. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 9. At that time, as Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, behold, a certain ruler came up and adored him, saying, Lord, my daughter is even now dead, but come, lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus, rising up, followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who was troubled with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I shall touch only his garment, I shall be healed. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, Be of good heart, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus was come into the house of the ruler, and saw the minstrels and the multitude making a tumult, he said, Give place, for the girl is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when the multitude was put forth, he went in and took her by the hand. And the maid arose, and the fame thereof went abroad into all that country. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. As Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, behold, a certain ruler came up and adored him, saying, Lord, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she will live. These words are taken from the Gospel for today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, on December 8th, 1965, the Second Vatican Council came to a close, and thus began one of the most turbulent times, if not the most turbulent time, in the history of the Church. For in the wake of the modernist reforms of Vatican II, countless millions of Catholic people have lost their faith and their morals. In fact, according to a certain survey, which was taken a few years ago, the results of the survey found that for every one person who converts to Catholicism, six Catholics abandon their faith. And of those who still call themselves Catholic, how many have the one true faith? Now, in the late 1960s and the 1970s, when the clear nature of the modernist revolution became more and more manifest, a reaction took place. Individual priests who loved God and the Catholic faith rejected the reforms of Vatican II. These priests refused to compromise with the modernists, and thus was born what we know today as the traditional Catholic movement. The Society of St. Pius V was formed in 1983, and the priests who banded together to form it, among them the then Father Clarence Kelly, Father Martin Skirky and Father William Jenkins. They were determined to do as St. Paul said in his second epistle to the Thessalonians, to stand fast and hold the traditions which they had learned. This they did by establishing Mass centers throughout the country to provide the true Mass and the sacraments for the faithful, as well as to provide sound Catholic teaching on the true faith and morality. And while it is true that these priests did everything they could for the faithful, they realized that without a bishop to provide future priests, the day would eventually come when there would be no priest to offer Mass or administer the sacraments for the souls entrusted to their care. Some of you perhaps remember those days. Divine Providence, however, led the priests of the Society of St. Pius V to Bishop Alfred Mendez, a validly consecrated, retired Catholic bishop, a bishop who was disgusted by the reforms of Vatican II, and who said of the modernist hierarchy of the new church, "They've all become Protestants." Bishop Mendez agreed to help the Society of St. Pius V. He first ordained Father Bamberger and Father Greenwell to the Holy Priesthood on September 3, 1990. And then in 1993, he decided to consecrate Father Clarence Kelly to the Holy Episcopacy. But before he was able to do so, Bishop Mendez fell ill with a serious case of pneumonia. He was rushed to the hospital by ambulance and admitted to the emergency room. The doctors thought they had everything under control, but a few days later, Bishop Mendez was moved to the critical care unit. A nurse had found him ashen gray and cold. Bishop Mendez's secretary told the doctor that she would have a priest at the hospital to anoint the bishop by the morning. But the doctor informed the secretary that a priest must come tonight. Bishop Mendez's secretary immediately called Father Jenkins to explain the situation to him, and Father Jenkins in turn contacted Bishop Kelly. And both priests agreed that this was a clear expression of God's will. If the bishop dies, Bishop Kelly said to Father Jenkins, it will be clear that God does not want this consecration. The next morning, Father Jenkins was able to get on a flight to San Diego, California, where Bishop Mendez was. He found the bishop at the hospital on a ventilator and quite unresponsive. Father Jenkins administered the sacrament of extreme unction to the bishop, and he gave him the apostolic benediction. The apostolic benediction is a very special blessing given to those in danger of death, which gains for the individual a plenary indulgence the moment the soul is separated from the body. He gave that with extreme unction to Bishop Mendez. And later that evening, Father Jenkins anointed another man at the request of his family. The next day, the pulmonary doctor who was taking care of both Bishop Mendez and the other man who Father Jenkins anointed, he approached Father Jenkins. He walked up to Father, and pointing to the holy oil stock, he said in all seriousness, "Father, I don't know what you have in that container, but keep using it. It has brought back two of my patients from the verge of death." It would certainly seem, my dear friends, that because of what Father Jenkins had in that container, or we should say because of what Father Jenkins did with what was in that container, it is because of this that we are here today. For Father used the holy oil contained therein, the oil of the sick, to administer the sacrament of extreme unction to Bishop Mendez. And one of the effects of that sacrament is to restore that person to health when God sees fit. And I personally believe, as that doctor did, that it is because of the sacrament of extreme unction that Bishop Mendez survived his illness and was able to consecrate Bishop Kelly. It is thus, no doubt, because of divine providence and the power of that sacrament that we have the congregation of St. Pius V and the future we have today. The purpose of extreme unction, my dear friends, is to give health and strength to the soul, and sometimes, as I mentioned, to the body, when we are in danger of death from sickness, from an accident, or even from old age. Extreme unction is a very, very powerful sacrament. For a person who is fortunate enough to receive it obtains an increase of sanctifying grace. It also fortifies a dying or aged person by filling him with a greater love for God. And the sacrament is such a great comfort in sickness, as well as a source of strength in time of temptation. You see, when a person's life on this earth draws closer to its end, the devil often torments him, seeing his last chance to snatch the soul away from heaven. Satan often assaults the dying person with many temptations. It is then during these last moments that the soul needs every heavenly assistance to help him overcome the attacks of the devil. And extreme unction provides this assistance. It gives the soul strength to conquer these temptations. And as I mentioned before, it can at times affect the bodily health, if God sees fit. And as it gives strength, extreme unction also removes sin. It can remit venial sin and temporal punishment due to sin, but it can do even more. Under certain circumstances, provided the person is truly sorry, extreme unction can even remit mortal sin. And thus, if one dies after having worthily received this sacrament, there is the greatest hope and confidence for that soul's eternal salvation. That is how powerful this sacrament is. Its importance cannot be underestimated. And yet, sadly, extreme unction is a sacrament that is often forgotten, or even at times, even neglected by Catholics. You see, most of the other sacraments mark a certain milestone in our lives. At our baptism, for example, we are cleansed from original sin, made children of God and heirs of heaven. That is a very big moment in our lives. Our first Holy Communion and first confession and the reception of confirmation are also very momentous days. The reception of the sacraments of holy orders and matrimony completely change one's life and are typically accompanied by celebration. But extreme unction tends to slip by almost unnoticed when we or when someone we know receives it. In fact, unless we know of someone on their deathbed, this sacrament most of the time does not even cross our minds. Extreme unction is thus, you could say, the forgotten sacrament. And this is unfortunate, because extreme unction is so important in preparing our souls for what is quite possibly the most important moment of our lives, the moment of our death. Death is something that everyone who has ever lived has had to encounter. It is appointed unto men once to die, writes St. Paul. And our own everyday experience shows how true this is. One day we might hear about a little boy who died. Another day about a young girl or an athletic youth. And yet another day about an elderly man. Just this past week, there was another school shooting, which left students killed. One minute we might hear about a man in the prime of his life. Another minute about a mother of many children. A simple walk through a cemetery is evidence of this truth. Death comes to whom it will, when it wills. And death is not a respecter of persons. It comes for the old, it comes for the young, it comes for the rich, and it comes for the poor. And death often comes, as our Lord himself warned, like a thief in the night. Be you then also ready, our divine Savior exhorts us, for at what hour you think not, the Son of Man will come. When death comes, my dear friends, it will not matter how many friends or how many relatives we have. It will not matter how much money or material possessions we have. When we depart this life, the honors, the possessions, the riches, the friends and the family members are not coming with us. At that crucial moment, the only thing that will matter is whether we are in the state of sanctifying grace or not. For a soul that dies in the state of sanctifying grace has a right to heaven. But a soul that dies in the state of unrepentant mortal sin will go to hell. Let us strive then to live so that when the time comes, we will be at peace with God, and that we will be found worthy to receive the sacrament of extreme unction. Let us prepare for that moment now, by shunning mortal sin and its occasions, and by attending Mass and receiving the sacraments faithfully with attention and devotion. And if someone you know is in danger of death and wishes to see a priest, please do not hesitate to call for one. The ruler in the Gospel today asked our Lord to heal his daughter, and our Lord went at once. So too will the priest. In fact, people should not wait until a person is actually dying before calling a priest. Extreme unction should be administered as soon as there is danger of death, and if possible, when the sick person is conscious. Let us not, my dear friends, let us not allow extreme unction to become the forgotten sacrament in our lives. In our lives, in the lives of our family members, and in the lives of our friends. Let us prepare for it now by leading a good Catholic life and by praying to the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph for the grace of a holy death. And in an age when true priests are so scarce, may we be so blessed on our deathbeds as to receive the powerful sacrament of extreme unction and to die in the loving arms of Jesus and Mary, so that our divine Savior, as he raised the daughter of the ruler from death to life, that he will raise us up to eternal life in heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.